Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Kate, thank you very much. Still to come in this hour, it's Brain Tumour Awareness Week. We're going to meet the mother of a little boy who's out the other side of his treatment and back in school. Why Donald Trump is butting heads with FIFA over where the World Cup games should be held next year. He's threatening to move them from cities that he deems unsafe. And the very Irish Halloween traditions, from barm brack to bobbing for apples. That's all on the way. Now, though, Prince Andrew is facing fresh allegations today following the release of Virginia Giuffre's posthumous memoir. It comes as reports from the UK suggest Prince Andrew hasn't paid any rent in 2 decades on his 30-room mansion, which is located on the royal family's Windsor estate. Let's get the latest on this and the new allegations. I'm joined by Henry Riley, who's a reporter with LBC in London. Henry, thank you for joining us this morning. So, I mean, a lot of what we're hearing in Virginia Giuffre's book, those rumours, those allegations have been out over the last couple of days. But what's new today is this focus on the house that Prince Andrew has lived in since 2003, so 22 years now, and the terms of the agreement. So what do we know?
Yes, I mean, this all emerged yesterday, and quite extraordinary, really. It was actually The Times, the newspaper, did a freedom of information, and not to get into the weeds of it, but often these can take days and days, weeks to come back. And they received a response on the same day detailing the lease that Andrew has with the Royal Lodge. That's the residency in Windsor, which is a sort of decadent 30-room estate that he currently lives in. And I mean, what we do know is that he paid £1 million for the lease, and that he paid for the sort of initial refurbishments, which came to £7.5 million. But curiously, as you say, and intriguingly for many people listening in the UK in particular, is the fact that the Crown Estate obviously in large part is funded by taxpayers, and yet the Royal hasn't paid any rent since 2003. Now, he is actually due to stay in, or is certainly entitled to live within that property until 2078. And I mean, as it stands, he still very much lives in the sort of grand home. He only pays a peppercorn rent, so basically pays nothing. And the agreement does say as well that if he does give up the lease, if he is for some reason evicted or there is an act of parliament, he would need to be paid, Prince Andrew, this is, £500,000 to give up the lease. It would work out at around £100,000 for each remaining year of the agreement up until 2028. And then that doesn't even get into the fact that he's due to stay there until 2078 on paper. So it's all very messy.
But also, Henry, from what you've just told us there, it sounds as though he hasn't needed to pay any rent other than this peppercorn rent that's stipulated in the rental agreement. So he paid his £1 million at the start, but he hadn't been asked for much more beyond that. So he's not in breach of anything, is he?
Yeah, you are correct. I mean, he hasn't sort of offered up rent, but you're right, he's not entitled to pay anything beyond what he's paying at the moment. And I think the issue is, whilst he has certainly done nothing illegal in this particular respect, and indeed a spokesperson for him makes the point, well, that them's the breaks, that's the agreement he's got. Nonetheless, when he is under such pressure, you have various MPs here saying that actually Andrew should, regardless of the rent that he was paying, not be entitled to stay at that sort of Royal Lodge, which is 40 hectares. It's this huge estate, to give it context, saying that he shouldn't stay there. And now the fact that he pays this very minimal rent certainly, I think, will stick in the craw of many people who argue that, yes, it's okay to say that you will not use your Duke title, that you won't use HRH, His Royal Highness, but he is still a prince. He does still ultimately hold a position as eighth in line to the throne. He's still a councillor of state, technically, and of course, has this lavish 30-room Royal Lodge.
So when we were talking about this on the programme yesterday, it seemed that politically it was hands-off, this royal family situation, that politicians felt that the royal family, the king, had taken the right decision in stripping him of his titles. But there wasn't really a push to take this into Parliament. Is that changing now because of this Royal Lodge situation?
Not among the government, among other political parties, yes. And so, I mean, you've got really the SNP, the Scottish National Party, who've led the charge over the last few days, who, I mean, they actually have a bit of a history on various issues of forcing the government into a slightly tricky position when it comes to various debates or motions in Parliament, because you can bet your bottom dollar if this does get to some sort of debate or some sort of vote, well, given there are 401 Labour MPs at the moment, a few more when they first were elected, but nonetheless, I mean, some of those will want to speak out, understandably. And so there is a clamour, I think, an emerging clamour. Certainly if you speak with the governing party and indeed the official opposition, they, the Conservatives and Labour, they're very keen to stay out of this. But some of the smaller parties, certainly the Greens, certainly the SNP, in some quarters, the Liberal Democrats as well, and many Labour MPs, are really keen to highlight this because of the sheer instance, and whether you, and of course Prince Andrew denies all of the allegations, but nonetheless, the actual mechanism that in this country at the moment, you cannot remove a title. A monarch cannot remove a title. He needs an Act of Parliament. And that seems for many to be extraordinary. You have it in cases. There's one case of Lord Ahmed from many years ago, who was a peer. He no longer sits in the House of Lords. He was convicted of sexual offences and still maintains the title of Lord, despite the fact he's not a peer. In some cases, again, noting he denies allegations, Prince Andrew, it's about having that mechanism to remove titles.
And given, I'm just going back to what you said about when the Times put in their Freedom of Information request to the royal family and they got the reply back very, very quickly. That would seem to suggest there's very little sympathy for Prince Andrew amongst the royal family. Is that your sense of it too?
Yes, certainly in some quarters. And what's been particularly interesting is the King yesterday, on a very sort of solemn visit to the scene of the synagogue where we had that terror attack in Manchester. Ordinarily with those visits, you have the pictures doing the talking and the people who the King meets who will speak afterwards. You don't need a readout from Buckingham Palace. And I was sort of listening to experienced royal commentators who made the same point that actually you speak to the people who the King managed to talk with. But in this particular instance, they put out a very clear statement, Buckingham Palace, explaining what the King was doing and making the point that they hope that this is the main focus and that other stories don't dominate. And mm-hmm. after a bit of clarity, they did get it back that, yes, they do mean Prince Andrew some. So I think there is very little. I mean, the clip that's sort of doing the rounds on social media at the moment was at that recent funeral where Prince William goes over and tries to talk to Prince Andrew and is effectively blanked. He's shunned. And I think certainly the commentary here, and it's not being denied by sources close to William, is that he's really been the driving force behind trying to clean up the sort of the mess that this has caused.
So he may not resist any attempts to have the title Prince removed from Andrew, but that may be some time away because, of course, his father is King.
Of course, and naturally, obviously, Prince Andrew is King Charles's brother, and so there's obviously a relationship there. You'd expect there to be one with William to some extent, but perhaps not the same as that sort of bond of brothers that you often get. But I think certainly that all of the musings coming out from William's camp is that they're actually quite relieved that Charles has applied this pressure. They didn't want this to go on forever, and certainly the last thing they want is a man who has spoken, despite the fact he, as you say, he is not the monarch, although he's next in line to the throne, he has spoken extensively about his sort of plans to reform the royal family, doing things differently. I mean, he was doing sort of TV shows with American actors, with Canadian actors. He's done various documentaries. He doesn't follow the sort of regular royal protocol. And I think when that comes to members of the royal family who are in such hot water, who are distracting from that key message, and when there's such large sums of money involved. We haven't even spoken about the 12 million alleged settlement that Virginia Giuffre mentions in her book, that I think Prince William is quite happy, it would seem, to cut loose.
And just on the release of Virginia Giuffre's posthumous memoir, I mean, we did see a lot of it in excerpts over the weekend. It is a tragic life, though, and we know that she died in April just gone. But in terms of additional revelations, Henry, she is saying in that book that she had a sexual relationship with Prince Andrew on three occasions, and all of those times Jeffrey Epstein was behind the meeting and indeed involved on one occasion.
Yes, that's right. And the sort of phrase you used as well, it is absolutely tragic reading this book from Virginia Giuffre, the posthumous editions that we have sort of been published today, despite the fact the Telegraph and the BBC have certainly been reporting some of it. And yeah, those sort of allegations that are really the focus, allegations which Prince Andrew denies, by the way, but the ones that are really the focus are those, claims that she had sex with him on three separate occasions, but in particular, that third occasion was on Epstein's island as part of what she describes as an orgy with Epstein and eight other young women, sort of really going into details about the sort of nature of those three encounters, but in particular that last encounter, and making the claim as well that Jeffrey Epstein was, along with eight other young women, again denied by Prince Andrew, but that those people were involved in that particular instance as well. And on the financial settlement, does sort of give that figure that was much speculated by people, that it was in the, well, around £12 million, that was certainly more than £10 million, this out-of-court settlement, which, of course, doesn't suggest any guilt on Prince Andrew's part. Happy to make that point, but nonetheless, it's still a huge sum of money.
Henry, thank you for taking us through it all. Henry Riley there, who's a reporter with LBC in London. Now, coming up next, the mother of a young boy who was diagnosed with a brain tumour 2 years ago tells us about his treatment and his bright future ahead. Also, a little later, Donald Trump and FIFA clash over the president's threat to move some World Cup matches from the cities in the United States that Donald Trump says are unsafe. That's all on the way.